There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart, and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Here we are. It's another Tuesday night in the barn in the northeastern part of Oklahoma. My name is BJ Rickard, and with me tonight is my chocolate Labrador retriever by the name of Ranger, and we are down and partying. Jim is gone, and we are going to have fun. Today's date, who cares, right? Who cares? I mean, really, seriously, does it really matter what day it is? If you could see the look on Jim Huckaday's face across the table from me right now, he would just die. Why are you holding up four fingers? Anyways, folks, today's date is the 4th of November, 2014. And I hope that all of you are here because, well, remember, fall forward. We had a time change just a couple days ago. So if a lot of you are with us, great. That means you are listening. And if not, we'll also have to do something about an hour from now just to let people know. Jim's gone. Not sure where he's at, but wherever he is, I'm sure he's doing something, you know, vacation, golf. Something that you know, isn't required, that probably isn't very important, probably really almost like a sin or you know, something that is just a total waste of time and money. Golf. But excuse me, something stuck in my throat. Golf. But anyways, we're here, and it's a pre-recorded show. And tonight... And also we will be talking about the homework assignment from last week's show. I use this a lot, and it's all over in Scripture, talking about how the flesh is unimportant. To if you look at somebody, poke your eye out, cut your hand off, cut your tongue off. Jim's going to read that Scripture to us. And then it talks about how there's nothing good of the world, nothing good of the flesh, and how you're really a spirit being, and that we're made in the image of the guys. But how does that really apply? I mean,
How do you apply that to your life? I mean, you set your clocks so that you can listen to Jim's show. You know the show's going to be not quite 2 hours, and it's on the internet, and so you're listening to it. And you send us letters and candy and snacks, and Jim's going to travel around and meet some of you and talk to you in person. And then there's Wednesday nights at the Hardesty Library, and there's Facebook, so that you're listening and seeing Jim on Facebook. And you've got your jobs, and some of you go to school, and some of you are kids, and you're living at home. And so it's really, really easy for me to say that you have to separate yourself from the world, from the reality. But how do you do that when you have no memories, when you have no examples? I mean, everybody has to work. I mean, you know what they say, there's only two certainties in life, death and taxes. I mean, ironically, it's really true. It's hard to get, you know, it's hard to get away from paying taxes. And so far, it's kind of hard not to die sooner or later. So tonight, our topic is going to talk about what is real. What is the reality of a quote unquote true blue Christian? What is the reality of Christ? What is the reality of grace? What's the reality of Jesus? And actually, for some of you, this may be kind of a boat rocker, because there's actually scripture that can be applied to really what is important and really what is true. And the interesting thing about this is, once again, it starts out in Genesis. But Jim, it's really hard, because I said something to you about 20 minutes ago before we started this pre-recorded show. Where are you exactly tonight, November 4th?
I am in Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Okay. I've been there.
You have?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I hauled some hay out of there.
Okay.
Yep. I literally have. I've been there.
Hmm.
Beautiful beaches by the ocean. I'm just mad. Look at that.
I haven't been there, so I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's no ocean.
No, it's in the middle of New Mexico.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of New Mexico.
I know.
You're like 1,000 miles from any ocean. But I just like that look on your face. I got the dog look out of him twice tonight so far. Jim's had the dog look, tilt his head, open his mouth, and go, oh, what? but it's difficult when, you know, it's so easy to say there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world, that you have to let go and identify with your spirit. But we've talked about this a couple shows ago, that what do people have an example of? But really, they have to realize that what they think is real, what they think is important, is really couldn't be farther from the truth, is it?
No, that's the sad part about it. And that's why I brought that up, because, you know, the more that this starts to make sense, I'm sure there's a bunch of you out there that could maybe send BJ some text messages or even emails that would be encouraging, because you're going to agree with this. But the more you begin to go down this road, and the more it makes sense. Now, here's an interesting thought, too. I'll stop there and say, a lot of folks have said to me, if you can just stick with it, when you first hear it, you know that it's right, but it's so different, the things, some of the things that we're saying, that you find yourself kind of questioning. And I've had so many people say, if you'll just stick with it, it'll start to really make sense to you. And when it really begins to make sense, boy, do you not so readily recognize when you're around religion and the talk of religion, the emptiness of religion? And this is with well-meaning people that you certainly could have an affection for, someone that you really do care about, but there's so much religion in it, it just about makes you want to just turn the other direction. I mean, tonight, literally, I had to walk out of my house and just get some fresh air. It's like, Lord, are you kidding me? I can't do this anymore. This is just...
Right.
Ugh.
Well, if you... And see, there are examples of what we're trying to refer to. There's Noah building a boat and thinking about how, I mean, let's face it, Noah and his buddies and his family did not gather up all the animals two by two. If you want an example of grace and how animals are closer to God than most people are, there's an example for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, the fact that you can have a zebra, a crocodile, a grizzly bear, a rattlesnake, and an elephant all sharing a small little boat is an example of grace, where nobody is, you know, fighting or attacking or eating each other.
Right.
And you look at the story of David, and you look at the story of Job and Jonah and Moses, and there's all these examples of how when people truly, truly, literally turned their back on anyone and anything and everything that was tangible, that they could see, hear, smell, touch, and taste, instantly there was grace there. And how unimportant. I mean, look at everything. We talked about this on last week's show. Look at all the stuff that Job had and lost, and right, how it was replaced with so much more.
So when I'm looking at a scripture, Matthew 6:25, and this is what it says, and see what you think. I'm going to do the New King James.
And where is this? Because you rattled that off kind of fast.
Matthew 6:25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?"
And what they're talking about, the life, they're not talking about your life with cable TV and your job and your life as a parent or a child. They're talking about your spiritual life, your existence as a creation and child of Christ. That's the life that they're referring to.
Yeah, I mean, but just the way that it's put there, and the King James says, "Take no thought for your life.
What disregard
you, what it. You should eat, what you should drink, nor yet for your body, what you should put on." So the whole emphasis of this, of what we're talking tonight, really comes down to letting go of what you think this world's all about.
And once again, look what the punishment of Adam and Eve was. Hmm. Clothing, jobs, food, growing food, childbirth. I mean, those were punishments. And what's really sad is you fast forward 2,000 years, and the overwhelming majority of people's concerns and the things that they attempt, notice the key word here, attempt, they attempt and try to pray for are the punishments of man. Please, oh please, God, I want this raise so I can get better clothes. Please, God, please, I really want to get this raise for this job so I can get a better house. And think about these things. Think about this. I mean, just take a moment and set everything aside and say, okay, wait a minute. I need to read the book of Genesis. I need to understand the punishments and the end result of God's wrath on Adam and Eve and the serpent, and then say, the life you're leading, is it more like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, or is it Adam and Eve after they were punished for jacking around with the tree of life? And then all of a sudden say, wait a minute, most of my concerns, most of my efforts, most of my worries, most of the things that I think are successful and the things that I really want God to enhance or improve are the punishments of Adam and Eve? That's messed up.
Right, right. So when you hear words like John saying, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, that particular thought, this is really where we began to start tonight, because what we're not of is everything pertaining to and of the flesh that man has created.
Right.
Which, you know, in a sense, if you weren't listening to something that was making you separate this, no one would separate that.
No. It's a, it,
that's their reality.
It's not impossible, but it's awfully close. It's awfully close because they have nothing. They have no family background. They have no organized. And see, here's what's interesting. Remember, I brought up organized religion. I said every faith, you have your devout Muslims and then you have your social Muslims. You have your everyday Jewish person.
Yeah, this is a really good thought. Like
and then you have your Hasidic Jew.
Right.
Okay, you have your Amish. Then you have your Mennonite. And every religion has what they call the zealots, the over the top, the extremists, the rigid. I mean, there's a lot of Mormons that think that having more than one wife and 85 kids and living in Utah isn't that important. But yet the people who do that, they look at the Mormons who don't as being wrong. You have American Indians that embrace quote unquote the white man's world. Well, there's Indians around that think that that's part of the problem. There's always kind of a, for lack of a better word, a up and up or down, a right or left, a north or south, or perhaps the old original version and the new technology civilized version.
Right, right.
And they, and even though it, at first glance you'd say, well, they're the same, there's just little differences. But they argue and they fight, and those little differences separate them.
Yes.
Because the old original view believes that if you stray, even just, and here it comes, your homework assignment, clicks, if you're just a couple clicks away from due north, it doesn't matter. Because, and think about this, if you're Jim just showed me his cellular machine and it's got a pretty cool compass on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now think about this for a second. If you're, and remember, the only two things that you can be close in that counts is horseshoes and hand grenades. You know, if it's a close call with a hand grenade or it's a close call with a horseshoe, it matters. Everything else, I mean, really, if you're in a race and you come in second place, you're still a loser because the winner is first. If you and see, think about this. There's the needle. Your homework assignment was to get a real, true blue compass and go outside and hold it perfectly straight towards north and walk about 15 or 20 feet and then go back to your starting point and let that needle drift to the left or to the right one or two little lines, one or two little clicks, and start walking. And in 15 to 20 feet, you'll see how far off north you are.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the point I'm making. Because remember, God's word is absolute. He doesn't grade on a curve. There's no gray area. There's no, that's close enough. Come on into heaven. It doesn't work that way. So this is my point. What does it matter if heaven is due north and you're only 1 or 2 degrees, 1 or 2 clicks off of due north, or if you're headed west? It's all the same, because technically, officially, and the reality of it, you're going the wrong way.
Hmm.
It's the wrong direction.
Right.
Because whether you're 1 click, 2 clicks, or you are 45 clicks,
right,
it doesn't matter. I mean, let me put it to in another term. Somebody is poking you with their finger, and then they decide to poke at you with a knife. Well, the knife does more damage, but the point is, you don't want them poking you at all.
Right.
That's where people lose the essence of Scripture, that it's absolute, mm-hmm. that it doesn't compromise, but everything of the reality. The world you live in right now on November 4th, 2014, And it's about 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. And remember, we had a time change. The world we all live in, and you listening to this radio show, it's nothing but distortions and compromises.
Right, right.
Across the board. And a perfect example of that is the time change. They, all of a sudden, we changed the clocks. And a president of the United States of America decided to change the time frame so that it would allow more time for farming, more time for harvesting, less time for people to be at their jobs in school so they could do more. A person decided to change the clocks, and we live by clocks and calendars.
Right, right.
There are no clocks and calendars that the guys care about.
Right. Yeah, I think this is why Paul said what he said here in Galatians 2, 19 to 21 in the Message Bible. I think you'll find this really good. It says, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. That's grace, folks. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back on that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. It's pretty good, because Paul pretty much just says it like it is, that it's one way or the other. And if you go back, then you miss out on what God did through Christ.
How many times, I mean, if we had a dollar for every time we've said the reason Paul wrote letters wasn't to bad people, he was just trying to say you've gotten caught up in the reality of the day again.
Yeah, everybody did.
Yeah, he would say, wait a minute, you saw grace work. Mm-hmm. You saw the Father of Jesus do things through his Son. Why would you worry about crops and flocks and business and family?
Right. There was one church in Thessalonica, remember that big name there, that Paul actually commended them. He said, I sent Timothy because I was afraid you went back and Satan had tempted you and you went back into your old way of living. He said, but when Timothy got there, he said your faith was unfeigned and you were going forward. He said, way to go. So other than that, BJ, pretty much everything Paul said was under the influence of trying to get people to come back to an understanding of what they had at the beginning. So look at how easy it is, even when people back then weren't as distracted. It doesn't give us a lot of hope today in that particular connotation, because they weren't even as distracted back then, and almost every group Paul dealt with went right back.
Yeah.
What does it say today? You know what it says today? This is the scary part for me and some of the frustration that I carry. What it says today is most likely what people have to begin with isn't even valid.
That's right. It's unimportant. And so let's think of first.
In other words, before it was more right. Valid, and then they went back. And now Paul's getting them to go and find what they had. Today, what if the majority of people don't really have anything even at the start?
And it's like people always want to ask me. They say, oh, BJ, I know that your prayers always work. They're instant. And you know, people talk about how you've, you know, done this, done that, and you've helped them, you know, and they've been healed. And they go, what do you pray for? And I go, nothing, because there's really not much to care about. And some of them get this really sad, disappointed look because they say, man, that's really insulting and disrespectful. You can see it on their face. And others are kind of perplexed by it. But what do I always tell you? The closer I become to the guys, the more I learn, the less I pray. Because I see the futility in caring about things and situations that have no bearing on my present or future existence as a child of God.
Yeah. So folks, if you're getting this tonight, and I sure hope you are, what I really want you to focus in on here as we talk about this death to the world, living in the world but not being of the world, all these different particular thought patterns, are you getting that prayers, if they're consumed with the world that man has created, you've got your focus and you've got your energy going in the wrong place. Your prayers really need to be focused on a continual experience with God.
That's really good.
And that's the reason why they'll work. If they're in the wrong place, they're not going to work. And that goes back to the compass, which I was really glad to see that my compass, I hadn't used it before, but it even tells you.
The compass is really pretty cool.
It even tells you, do you see the thing here where it shows you the amount of degrees that you're off?
Yeah.
So you could set it on, let's say, right there. 10 or 2 yep. or 4 and just go that way.
And you'll get farther and farther off path.
And it's just like a V, isn't it? Yep. Well,
send him a text or email.
Oh my gosh. What was that about?
I'm speechless.
Folks, if you'd like to send a text or email to the show, remember this show is pre-recorded, but Ranger, as you just heard, Ranger and myself, we are in the barn. Jim's in New Mexico this evening. Wow, that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of
totally
spooky. And if you want to send a text, the way you send a text message is... the first word that you type is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. And then you send it to this five-digit number, 69302. And that is on the radio show's website, theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. I can't respond to text messages, but I do enjoy reading them. But yet, if you send me an email while you're listening to this show tonight, I will respond to your emails. I'll say hello back or make a comment, or I'll forward them on to Jim. Some of them I do. And the way you send an email is it is the name of Jim's radio show, which is The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, as in Grandma's Gravy, .com. So make sure that you take advantage and send something. And also, remember, we did change the time of the show, so pass that on to your family and friends. And just keep that in mind that Ranger and I are here in the barn. And, well, that was just kind of spooky is what it was. Thank you. Wow. That's weird.
You know what I didn't tell you is
that
in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, out there, the folks that bring me out are businessman Bob and his wife Kim.
Yeah, business card Bob.
Right. And then Rob and his wife Dorothea.
Okay.
And Dorothea has written in quite a few times.
Yeah, I recognize the name.
Okay. So she's laughing her head off telling me that she's ironing. And it was a couple of weeks ago while you were, you know, here by yourself partying.
Yeah.
And you used that particular slap of lightning and thunder. And she said when it happened, she jumped. And at the exact same time, it was nothing but lightning and thunder outside at the exact same time. And she just like totally had the chills going up and down. Her, like, oh, my God, what just happened?
Well, did you say, well, on behalf of BJ, there's no charge. It's complimentary.
Yeah,
it's complimentary. That's just part of the radio. You should have said, Dorothea, that's complimentary. That's just part of the radio show, baby. Yeah, there you go, sister.
Goes along with the package. She never misses. She usually does her laundry while she's listening. And that slap of thunder happened exactly as it was doing the same outside. So she got quite a kick out of that.
That's kind of spooky what we just had happen.
Yeah,
that's kind of.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I don't know. I have really nothing to say about it. I just know that it's never happened on the show before.
No.
See, that's what happens when you're not here. A lot of good things occur.
I guess.
Folks, we're talking about, I mean, and like I said at the beginning of the show, this is a really kind of a boat rocker, a very upsetting topic, because we learned last week, and I really liked it, that we have entire families listening, parents with their kids, grandparents with their grandparents, and I'm sure that you guys are all the kids. This goes out to the kids. Ranger, come here. We got kids listening. Oh, I know you're sleeping. She's sleeping. Ranger, say hi to the kids. What do you say? Ranger, what do you say? She's a little growly because right before we recorded this, she was outside hauling at the coyotes. But coyotes, what do you say? Get the coyotes. Good girl. That goes all the kids listening. But see, this applies to you too because, you know, it's all about doing your homework. It's all about keeping your room clean, about staying away from other kids that may want to get in fights or may want to use things that you know better that you shouldn't be involved in. And so those are important things. But what you have to realize is that you are actually kind of lucky because it's easier as somebody that's in grade school or junior high or high school or even college, it's kind of really nice to be a kid when it comes to the guys because you don't have the worries of a job or paying bills or rent or buying groceries or car payments or getting the laundry done or mowing the lawns and all just kind of things that the adults do. As a kid, you really should appreciate the advantage you have. You don't have the dramas and the pitfalls and the experiences that your parents and grandparents and aunt and uncles and school teachers have of being so weighted down with the worries of the day. Because really, all you have to do is brush your teeth, get dressed, do your homework, a couple little chores around the house, and just stay out of trouble. That's a very easy thing to set aside so that you can flourish with your relationship with the guys.
Right. Yeah, good.
And at the same time, you can help your parents. Because there's going to be times when your mom and dad or your parents are going to be sad or there's something going to be weighing them down. And you can go over and you can give them a hug and you can say, you know, mom, you know, dad, this is a couple of clicks off of North.
Right.
Remember
right.
our homework assignment. Mom, dad, isn't this just kind of a distraction like those crazy guys and the dog we're talking about on the radio show? It gives you, and this is what a family does. These are testimonies.
Right.
When one person can show another person the folly, the ridiculous, the time wasting, just how unimportant it is. Because then all of a sudden you have that loving family fellowship, which is an unsurpassed strong force to stay together, and to excel with everybody's relationship. I just made that up.
Yeah, that's good.
Did you like that?
I did. And you know, I look at the way that Paul, that he dealt with some of these things. I'm going to read a few scriptures over here in Romans chapter 6, 4, 5, and 6. But I like what Paul did, because if you'll think of it this way, Paul, number one, made the world look really bad, and then he made what it looks like to be in Christ really good, so that the two distinctions would be so far apart that you'd have to, in a sense, cross a great chasm to get to one to the other. Now, what modern religion has done is modern religion has brought them all together so that there isn't a great chasm. In other words, a great space between what's completely old and not good and what's completely new and great. Modern religion brings them all together so that there's very little distance apart at all. And that's part of the problem, is people have a little bit of what's bad and a little bit of what's good.
Yeah.
But Paul makes a huge separation. And without that separation, you really can't get a hold of what we're talking about tonight. So I want to read what Paul had to say here. In the Living Bible, Romans 6:4, he said, "Your old sin-loving nature was buried with Jesus by baptism when he died. And when God the Father with glorious power brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. For if we have become one with him, as a graft becomes one with a tree stock, through an experience corresponding to his death, we must equally be one with him through an experience corresponding to the resurrection." I like that analogy there. And then verse 6, he says, "Our old inherited self was crucified with him so that the material with which sin had to operate might be put out of operation." So Paul's telling us here, when you were born again, there was such a change in your heart that you were totally made a brand new person, and everything about the old life was literally done away with completely. In the mind of God, the person that you used to be no longer exists. The only problem we've got is it's in the mind of us that we still do exist.
See, that's what I've always said about a structures building an organized religion. They'll welcome somebody into the fold, into the congregation. They'll baptize them.
Right.
They'll tell them they're saved. Mm-hmm. They'll have a communion. Everybody will hug them. Everybody will offer them a cup of warm grape juice and a flavorless cookie and say,
That's great.
You know, and say, "You've got it." But here's the thing, and then they'll say, "I've been saved. I've been reborn. I'm a child of God." But what happens is literally nothing. I mean, literally, folks, nothing. They literally walk out of the building, get in their car, and go somewhere for pancakes, and go home, and the next day, the majority of their life is exactly the same.
Right.
They still have aches and pains. They still have worries. They still have dramas. They're still concerned about all these things that we're trying to tell you have nothing to do with your relationship with the guys, with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, with grace. Well, think of this. If having a relationship with the guys is amazing, and it's supposed to be something that transcends and covers everything, how can you be saved, baptized, and communionized and reborn and have no earth-shattering difference in the way you perceive everything? Everything from brushing your teeth to waking up in the morning and going to sleep at night should be undescribably wonderful and completely different. And if it isn't, then bears the question, what's going on here?
So here's how I see this. And this is going to be about how you experience God and then what I'm seeing take place. Because it's not like I haven't seen individuals that have had wonderful experiences in their salvation. It's not like that doesn't ever happen.
No, it does.
But here's the problem.
It's random.
Well, number one, it is random. And number two, they're usually always surrounded by people who, if they did have anything that was literally life-changing, it lasted about a week. And they literally will tell them, well, you're just so excited. You know, that's because you just had a new experience. That'll wear off after a while. Then
yes.
You become like us.
Oh, my! I know.
Now,
that's so
this
sad.
Is,
so
this
sad.
Is something I think is sad. You may beg to differ with this, but this is okay. But, again, you haven't been married, but you've seen so many people with difficulties. Now, here's a problem. This is what I think about the same thing concerning the whole honeymoon period. People say, well, there's a honeymoon period of about a year to maybe a year and a half or so, you know, where life is amazing because everything's so new. But then things change. Well, the only thing, in my opinion, changes is the things that you were doing and your perspective of each other for that year and a half,
they become,
all of a sudden changes.
Well,
now
they become common every day habits.
And then you become selfish.
They're not new and special anymore.
No, but you can keep them new and special. It's perspective. And the whole idea that people know that things are going to be great for a year and a half, it's almost like you can just snap your finger and all of a sudden they turn into, you know, living hell the next day just because they lose the expectancy of having an amazing, wonderful life continue. This is why I said, Paul, if you look at him, he does everything he can possibly to describe two completely different worlds. But religion does everything it can to bring them together. And that's where folks lose it.
You have to understand, though, the only way that organized religion and a building and structure can survive is by joining the two together. Because if they're separated, then people are going to see the pointlessness of it, the unproductivity. The fact that there's no productivity, there's no success, there's no advancement, there's no, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue, ask and you shall receive. And if you if you've got 500 people in a building praying and people are coming every week and they're saying the same prayer over and over and it still hasn't happened, somebody's wrong. Either the Bible is wrong or somebody isn't really doing it right.
Right.
Because I ask, you know, and this is what kills me. One of the cowgirls, the new cowgirl that works on the ranch.
Yeah.
Have you met her?
I have.
You've met her?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you got to admire her. She's getting really good grades in school. She's a senior in high school. She's got a scholarship. She's going to college to be a veterinarian. And that's why she wanted to work with me and work on the ranch. And her teachers, her FFA teacher and her ag teacher were thrilled when she said that she was working with me. They says, oh, well, there you go. They were real happy. Even her family was really excited. You know, I saw her mom the other day and she says, we are so thankful that you hired her and she's learning so much. And
right.
She wants to be a vet and, you know, so on and so forth. Well, anyways, she works at a pizza parlor at night. She leaves this ranch, changes clothes at the pizza parlor, and she's a waitress in a pizza parlor. I mean, the girl's got two jobs and school. And it's kind of funny because the next day, I can always tell how it went at the pizza parlor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she'll say, this guy counted the olives. And I go, what? And she says, well, this guy wanted olives on his pizza. And he counted them, and he didn't leave me a tip because one part of the pizza had more olives than the other. Mm. And I says, you're kidding me. And she says, no, it happens all the time. They want extra cheese, and it's not enough cheese. And sometimes they tell me they want extra sauce, but then they complain that there's too much sauce. She says, people want the perfect pizza. Well, here's the deal, okay? It isn't just pizza. It's an ice cream cone. It's a tossed salad. It's a new car. It's new carpeting and drapes. It's a new sofa for the living room. It's the new tires on the pickup truck.
Hmm.
People demand to have precisely and exactly what they want because they're paying for it.
Right.
And they'll say, look, I'm paying for this. I want it to be exactly what I want. Well, here's my point. If people had that attitude about Scripture,
mm-hmm.
if people were so absolute and so matter-of-fact and harsh about the Word of God, they would say, okay, wait a minute. I've read the Bible, and in blah, blah book and blah, blah chapter and blah, blah verse, it says, ask and you shall receive. All my sins are forgiven. Repent. Okay, why isn't it happening?
Right.
Because apparently Jesus died on a fence post for my sins, and his blood washed away all of mine, and all my sins are forgiven, and I'm a child of God, so where's mine?
Yeah.
What's wrong? How come I'm not getting supposedly what I already have? But here's the thing. Nobody looks at their relationship with the guys in such absoluteness, which is really sad because the guys look at you that way. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter how egregious our acts, it's forgiven. And Christ's love is endless and boundless.
Right, right.
How more devout, absolute, crazy, stubborn position does it get than that?
Yeah, I agree. That's totally right. You know, wow.
You wish you would have wrote that down.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things that I wish I would write down. I do write a ton down, just so you know, folks.
He does.
I've got a lot.
He comes with a book, like a book.
It's my third book.
Is it really your third book?
Third book.
He gets these books that they look like books. They're like a big-sized book with hundreds of pages, mm-hmm. but they're blank pages.
Yeah, it's journals.
They're journals, yeah. Diaries.
Well, this one's nice because look at
that. That one's got lines.
Lines. It's
most
really
of them
nice.
Don't have lines.
So it's
and
really
he's
nice.
Got an ink pen, and when he comes to the ranch, he asks questions, and he just starts to... Just starts to write.
Right, yep. Okay, listen to this, folks. This is really good. It continues down this path. And after what BJ just said, why don't we take this completely literally? Look at what Paul said. And now I've got some different translations, so you have to stay with me. This first translation said, the things of the world have become dead to me, and I have become dead to the world. Well, I don't know what else you want to say about that. I mean, If the world represents all of man's inventions and the way that man does what he does, Paul's saying that none of that has any importance to me, and I have become completely dead to it. Weymouth's translation said, but never be it mind to boast of aught save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, by whose death the world has died on that cross to me, and I have died to the world. So look at what he's doing. He's literally making the cross become this chasm in between who he used to be and who he is now. Bruce translation said it really good. But far be it from me to boast about anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. That cross forms a permanent barrier between the world and me and between me and the world. I really like that one a lot. It forms a permanent barrier between me and the world and me. Well, I mean, and the next verse, you know, is really good. It says the one thing that's needed is a new creature or new creation in God. So what Paul's saying here, he's saying it in a way. I mean, I like the way BJ says a lot of these things. I'm sure a lot of you folks do too, because it's just kind of in our language. But in Paul's day, he's just trying to literally split hairs.
Yeah.
With how absolute it is that you are a new creature. And that's the one important thing. And to go back into the world is literally to turn your back on Christ.
He's talking about the homework assignment. He's talking about a compass, about being just a couple of clicks, just a couple of little lines to the left or right of due north. That's what he's talking about. He's saying it doesn't matter if you're walking west, south, or east. The point is, you're not walking perfectly north.
Hmm.
Whether you're one little line, one little click, or you're 45 or 90 or 180 clicks off, you're off. That's the absoluteness of the word of Christ. It doesn't matter If you're standing at a checkout line and you're getting your groceries, and this is going to happen a lot. It's the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas. Stores are going to be jam-packed. The weather's getting bad, so people are going to panic and want to stock up on milk, bread, and toilet paper because there's a winter storm coming. And people are going to be paying cash. And the poor little checkout girls, they're going to be giving change out. And somebody's going to get an extra dollar. And they're going to keep it thinking, well, it's a big store. It doesn't matter. There's no difference between keeping a dollar that doesn't belong to you and blowing up a bank and taking bags of money.
Yeah.
This is the problem with the reality that we call our day-to-day life. I'm talking about today, Tuesday night, November 4th, 2014. This is the gray areas. These are the compromises. Well, I'm really not cheating. I'm flirting. Well, it's not like I'm cheating and sleeping. I'm just perusing dating sites on the internet. Well, it's really not gambling because I'm just playing solitaire on a computer and you know, whatever it is. That's not the point.
Right.
It's a click, whether it's one
right.
click
right.
or a lot. The point is that it's off. That it's not right.
Now, you know how you said lying versus blowing up a bank, right?
I said there's no difference between keeping a dollar that you know doesn't belong to and robbing a bank.
Robbing a bank. Okay. Then this would be the same thing, and that is there's no difference between a bruise and Ebola, a bruise and cancer. It's all completely defeated. It's all under the blood. But people make it all big. That's what Jesus meant, didn't he, when he said,
"Yeah,
it only takes a speck to remove a mountain."
Yeah.
He's trying to tell you your perspective's completely absorbed in the
yep.
flesh in the world. And if you could see it from a spiritual perspective, why would it take any more than a tiny speck to remove what you think is a mountain?
Yeah, it's like one of the most interesting things that really helped me a lot with the guys is when they reminded me and kind of played back like watching a rerun of a TV show in my mind was when that lady brought her full-grown adult daughter who lives in Brazil to that building where I met you.
Uh-huh.
And the daughter used to do a lot of long-distance running, and she had a bad knee.
Right.
And a couple people laid hands on her knee, and when she stood up, it was a little better. And then the next day, the lady came back without her daughter because her daughter had to fly back to Brazil. And you asked her, you said, "How's your daughter's knee?" And she says, "Well, it's 50% better."
Mm-hmm.
Or no, 60.
60.
It was, that's right. Sorry. She said, the mom said, "Well, my daughter's knee is 60% better." And she said, "It's wonderful. And remember, I told you how tragic that was."
Right.
I says, "That's not grace. Grace isn't going to do 60% of something."
Right.
I said, "That's what's really sad is somebody says, hey, wait a minute. My knee feels 60% better. It still kind of hurts. It's still kind of stiff and there's still a little swelling, but it certainly is better than it was yesterday. That shouldn't be the end of the road. That should be like bait for a big fish. It should say, wait a minute. If I have this, that means I can have a knee that is perfect."
Mm-hmm.
But people are used to compromise.
Yeah.
They settle. They don't make demands. But yet, Christ makes demands on us to be absolute, to be all-encompassing and giving him everything.
You know, if you took 10 people and gave them the same task, let's just say out here on the ranch, you gave them the same job.
Do it all the time.
There would be a few that would excel.
Yep.
There would be the majority that would settle.
Yep.
They'd get to where they could do it kind of okay, and they would just assume that's as
yep.
far as I can go. And then there would be a few to a handful that would literally want to say, "I can't do this."
Well, the way it works, you're right. It's exactly that's the way it is on the ranch. The way it works on the ranch is everybody, including myself, everybody on the ranch has to know how to do everything. So that at any given moment, nobody can't say, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to work with that horse.
Okay.
I don't know how to run that machine. Because that's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's required to be able to do everything. But there are people that have, they like something. They enjoy it. So they really get into doing it. You know, they enjoy it. Well, I know this. And so if there's a if there's an issue or if something has to be done quickly, I know which person will do it faster and still cover all the bases.
Sure.
Where someone who maybe doesn't like it, doesn't have all the skills to do it the way it should be doing, I don't want them to be in a hurry.
Right. Right.
Yeah, this happens in life.
But that's the way people see things, though.
They do, and what's that saying of yours? The way you do life is
the way you do faith, and if faith doesn't work, it goes back to how you do life.
Yeah, say that again.
The way you do life is the way you'll do faith, and if faith isn't working, it goes back to how you do life.
Yeah. I like that.
You know, I'm going to read something here, and I think there's a real story in it, and see what you think when you hear it. This is something we've read a long time ago, but you've got a story here where there's a king that has trusted God and won victory after victory. And then he's in the midst of a big fight with a couple different countries coming after him. And instead of calling for God, he goes and asks a neighbor king to help fight with him. And then this is what happens. The prophet comes and actually speaks to the king. So it says, just after that, 2 Chronicles 16:7, just after that, Hananiah, the seer or the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said, because you went for help to the king of Aram and didn't ask God for help, you've lost a victory over the army of King Aram. Didn't the Ethiopians and Libyans come against you with superior forces, completely outclassing you with their chariots and cavalry? But you asked God for help, and he gave you the victory. God is always, and this is the part I like, God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You were foolish to go for human help when you could have had God's help. Now you're in trouble, one round of war after another. Asa lost his temper and put Hananiah the seer, or the prophet, in stocks. Kind of interesting story, isn't it?
It is. I like that. And where is that?
That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. The part I like is, yes, he made some bad choices. And yes, it cost him the kind of victory he could have had, and he ended up with more war, more drama, more strife, more, as we've been talking lately, more lists and priorities. But what I like is, it doesn't change God. Because notice what it says God's doing. Even while he's making a bad choice, it says God is always on alert, constantly on the lookout. The King James says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth for people who are totally committed to him. And the King James says that he would find someone's heart loyal so he could show himself strong on their behalf. So look at what it says about God, everyone. It's saying that even in the midst of our wrong decisions and choices, this is the reason why repentance is so necessary. Because it doesn't change God. It just means you don't get the benefit of God. You don't enjoy the blessing of God, the companionship of God, the wonderful grace of God. But it doesn't change God from his eyes roaming back and forth, from God always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people totally committed to him, that he would show himself strong. In other words, I think here in Oklahoma of a breeze, and then I think of a pretty strong gale. But the wind is really showing itself strong when there's a huge tornado, F5. So if God's showing himself strong, that means you don't have any issues in your life.
Right.
And it's only as simple as just being totally committed.
It's like what I say when all the other farmers and ranchers around me that raise hay like we do, this is not really a horse ranch. It's more of a hay farm, really. I mean, we have horses, and it's all about horses, but
right.
I mean, the place is paid for by the square bales of hay in right. the next room.
Right. You didn't do any round bales, did you, in the last cut?
No. I usually roll up about 300 round bales, and I didn't. I let I literally left 50% of the hay ground go.
For the livestock? For
no,
deer
not
and
for
stuff?
Well, no, not for grazing, but I just let it go to allow the natural grass seeds mm-hmm. to fall off and go back in the soil.
Hmm.
And
you'll get a better crop next year.
Yeah, I'll have more grass, less weeds, and it'll be a little better quality hay on a part of the ranch. I mean, technically, I'm losing money because I didn't bale half the ranch. But at the same time, in the spring of 2015, half the ranch is going to have probably a third to 40% better quality. I'll get more square bales. So all I did was square bales. But there's a shortage of square bales this year, so my hay is going to rise as the temperature lowers.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that people have to remember is that you really have to come to terms with the fact that what you think is tangible isn't tangible to your spirit and the choices that you make that are about heaven and hell. It's tough to do that when you've got bills to pay, when you got to keep the lights on, and mm-hmm. and the house has to be warm because it's going into winter, and you've got to make sure that you have Christmas gifts and holiday food and school clothes and snacks after school and laundry soap. I mean, I mean, it's tough to do that. It was very hard for me not to care about what Ranger does, because I've always kept such a close eye on her.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazingly hard for me to let go of baling hay. You know, just to sit back and say, well, we're going to have an amazing day, and all the hay is going to go in the barn, and nobody's going to get hurt, and we're going to have a real good crop of high-quality hay. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, there's 15 people looking at me like I'm nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then somebody will say, well, yeah, that's really good to say, but, you know, you never know. It's going to be a long day, and it's going to be a whole week's of harvesting, you know.
Right. Right.
We're just haven't even started yet, but that's a good attitude to have.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden they say, I can't believe we got 7 days of work done in 2 or 3 days.
Hmm.
And then I just look at them and say, told you so.
Hmm.
You know, what's interesting about grace is, and the Holy Spirit is they're the presidents and founders of the I Told You So Club.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Told you we were with you since the day you were born. Told you could be healed. I told you so. All your prayers can be answered. I mean, I'm serious. The guys are the founders of the I Told You So Club.
Hmm.
But, well, uh-oh.
Who's in trouble?
Well, why does somebody have to be in trouble?
Is that a noon whistle?
Well, it's not noon. It's actually like 10:30 on Wednesday night.
Volcano tornado sirens?
It's really something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, something's going on. Oh, I know why that siren's going off. I know exactly why we have a siren going off. The reason we have a siren going off is we have a situation here in the barn, folks. We've got a situation here in the barn, and what it is we have been talking now for about an hour, And for some of you that haven't been listening live over the last couple of weeks, you've just logged in and wondered why it sounds like the show has been on the air for a while. Well, that's because in Oklahoma, in the United States of America, we turned our clocks ahead this last Sunday morning, November 2nd. And tonight is the 4th of November. It's a Tuesday night. Jim is in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Myself and Ranger, we're in the barn making sure that this stream's live so you can hear it. But this is your notice that we've changed the time. So you're just logging on, figuring that you're going to hear an entire show. But unfortunately, you've already missed an hour. Well, just remember the show streams 24 hours, 7 days a week, and there is an archive. So that's your time change notification. Well, see, that's what the siren was about.
Sure.
Let's thank the guides for that notification.
Okay.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yep.
And remember, folks, you can send me a text message. The first word you type is the word grace. And then when you press the send button and it asks for a telephone number, no one, no area code, just 69302. And I can't talk about I could push a button and say thanks for and read the text, but I'd have to talk over what we're talking about, and that'd sound really ridiculous. So I can't comment on the text messages that you send, but I will send you an email right back if you say hi to Ranger or myself or make comments. And don't forget, folks, we always have been referring to the homework assignment, and we'll talk about that again.
Yep.
All right, so tonight's topic, folks, is kind of harsh. It's about what is real to you. What's important to you? Why are you moaning at me? What? What is it? What? What was that?
I don't know.
What's going on? What is it? I don't know. Is it a coyote? I don't know. She just kind of sneezing and coughing and growling. I think she had a dream.
Coyotes.
She just woke up. Well, yeah, we got coyotes.
Earlier, right?
Right before we started recording this, I let Ranger out so she could drain her tanks. And we could hear a coyote to the northwest of the barn. Probably about, sounded like it was about 400-500 yards away to the northwest. I almost came and got you because it was just one coyote. Sounded like a younger one. Didn't sound like it was a very big or older coyote. Kind of sounded like a younger, youthful, smaller-bodied young coyote. Because as soon as Ranger started howling and barking, it just got kind of quiet and scooted on its way. So you're in New Mexico.
Yep.
And there's not going to be anything at the Hardesty Library.
No, I'll be back on Thursday. So.
You know, next week it's going to be rainy all week. So we're going to be in the barn working firewood.
You getting more?
Yep. My goal is to have 4 feet high, 4 feet wide, and 100 feet long, solid wall of cut, split, stacked firewood.
How many years?
That should be enough firewood to heat my house without any electricity or anything. Because, you know, I heat my whole entire house with one wood stove in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
That should be enough wood for 4 years? I'm going to keep going. I've decided I'm going to hoard firewood. I'm going to be a firewood piglet.
You can always sell it.
Yeah, but I won't. People want to buy it because they love my firewood. But, yeah, you might have to come out and run a saw.
Okay.
Run a log saw.
Sounds good. I'll do it when I get back.
I sold 4 bags of nubs today.
Okay.
Sold 4 bags of nubs. And it was a repeat customer from last winter. He said, man, we love these little bags of wood chunks. And he says, I lost your number, but then I saw you that you had an ad on Craigslist. And he says, the price is the same. And I says, well, nothing's changed. I says, if you want to pay me more, you can. And he says, no. He says, you're a couple dollars cheaper than the stores. So.
That's good. Good to know.
Now, on tonight's subject, Jim, what does this... Does this make you think about some of the people that you meet?
Oh, all the time.
And ask you questions?
Yeah.
Why don't you kind of elaborate on that to give people some examples?
Well, you know, people have, this is the hardest thing right here. And that is, folks can get the message that Jesus took our infirmity, that Jesus, by his stripes, healed us. But translating that into seeing their bodies well is where everything really goes awry. And so I'm constantly seeing people do their best to hold on to the idea, well, I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. But then there's not much about their body that actually looks healed.
Right.
And that's the part that's the saddest, because what it's saying is they intellectually know they're healed, but it shows that they're not spiritually inept. They're not spiritually, what would you say, exercised. I mean, okay, here's what Paul said. He said, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness or spiritual exercise profits for all things, both in this life and the life to come. So that's pretty much what I'd say about it. It shows, when people talk, it shows how little spiritually conscious they are and how of the flesh they are. That's what's really sad.
I think that if people remember that for every action, there's a reaction.
Right.
Cause and effect. That when you look at a clock and you see that it's getting close to 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and you start thinking about shows that you've listened to before, and you want to listen to your radio show, Jim, that it starts off with they remember a past show and something that made them laugh or cry, or they got something out of it that they want more of.
Right.
I guess is my point. Okay, well, see, that's a thought, and that thought spurs a feeling. And then they have that feeling, and that feeling then becomes an emotion. And then with a thought, a feeling, and then an emotion, then the reaction to those three actions is to get up, go in the room where the computer is, get on the internet, and log on to listen to the show.
Right.
Have something to drink, have some snacks, gather the family around, make sure everybody can hear it,
right,
that it sounds good, and that's the cause and effect. Well, that recipe or that stage of events, a thought, a feeling, and an emotion, and then an action occurs. That's what it talks about in Scripture. Find that Scripture about poking your eye, cutting your tongue. I want you to read that.
Yeah, it's Matthew 5.
Okay, what is it? Matthew 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Matthew 5, Jim is going to read that. And then think about what I just said about cause and effect, and that there's a thought, a feeling, an emotion, and then you do something. There's an overt act boy, that smells good. You know what? I wasn't hungry till I smelt that. What is that I'm smelling? Is that a cheeseburger place? Yeah, let's make a U-turn. Let's get some cheeseburgers and fries and some chocolate shakes. Because you says, boy, I didn't realize how hungry I was until I smelled those cheeseburgers and French fries in the wind. So you made a U-turn. You went and bought some food to eat. Okay, now read Matthew 5.
Says verse 29, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish and that not the whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish and that not your whole body should be cast into hell.
Where's the tongue?
You're
not reading the King James?
No, let me read. Oh, that is the King James. Yeah, let me read the New King James. Okay.
Because you didn't mention the tongue. I want the one that says if you're gonna say something to somebody, if you're gonna look at somebody, if you're gonna do, you know, steal something. That one. What's that one?
All right. Well, it's just in another one of the guys, one of the buddies. So let me find it here, just a second.
Try Luke.
Yeah, Luke 12. Stop.
Why did you tell me to stop? That just kills you, doesn't it? You know, I wonder if anybody ever catches that happens on the show. You think they do? Probably not. That was a fast one. I said, try Luke, and then you said, yeah, Luke.
Okay, say something. Give me a second.
Folks, the show has been pre-recorded tonight. It's me and Ranger in a barn, but Jim will be here next week. This is the first Sunday night in November. Want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. And, I want to talk about the homework assignment. This would be a really good time to talk about the homework assignment, because right now, looking at the recording clock on the computer screen, it's probably around 9:15 to 9:18. It's about 15 to 18 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock Central Standard Time. The homework assignment that we gave last week was a compass, how you want to get a compass and go outside and hold it in your hand and make sure that needle is perfectly pointed due north. And then walk about 10 to 20 feet in a straight line. Then stop and go back to the place where you started, and then take the compass and just one or two or just three little lines, just a couple of clicks to the left or to the right of due north, walk 10 to 20 feet again and see the difference in your direction, and see that the farther that you walked, the farther that you would be away from due north. Think of that as mistakes, as anger, as sins, as thievery, lies, of hurting someone physically or verbally, hurting animals, hurting kids or people. That's what we're talking about, distractions, clicks off. You know, this is a perfect example for a kid to go up and hug their mom or dad and say, Mom, Dad, I love you. I think your compass is a couple of clicks off. Is this really a big deal? So that's the homework assignment. Okay, did you find it?
I did. I'm over here, and the one that I like is in Matthew 18:9. It says, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire.
There you go. See, that's what we're talking about, folks. We're talking about that cause and effect, how you have a thought, then a feeling, then an emotion, and it causes you to say something hurtful. You have a thought, a feeling, and an emotion to steal, to lie, to say that you did something but you didn't, or that something broke and you say, I don't know how it broke. Well, it sounds so absolute, so nitpicky, so harsh. But I'm here to tell you that the majority of people that are not in a position to have a prayer answered, the majority of the people that aren't having conversations with grace and seeing wondrous things happen in their lives, isn't because they're robbing banks or killing people. It's not because they're doing terrible things. It's because of these little clicks of the compass. It's the little things that add up, that give you a false sense of reality, a false confidence of, that sounded like somebody knocking on the door, but it was her tail.
Mm-hmm.
That it just gives you that false sense that you're really not that bad, that things are good.
Well, I'm gonna chime in here with Colossians 2:20. And in the Wood translation, it says, you are dead with Christ to the principles which govern the world of men. I like that. the principles which govern the world of men. You're dead to them. See, this is the huge separation Paul's making. And again, remember, religion doesn't want to make it that big. Religion wants to keep it basically all together. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I'd rather have you be cold or hot. He's making things two worlds apart. Notice he doesn't say lukewarm, or, well, obviously he does. He says lukewarm, he's going to spew out of his mouth. But he doesn't say semi-warm and just a little bit cold. He says, I'd rather you be cold or hot, two distinctly different things. This is what Paul said, the Amplified. Colossians 2:20 says, if then you have died with Christ to the material way of looking at things and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Look at what Paul said. See, this is what happened from the cross to the throne. What Jesus did for us is secured the right that when you accept his salvation, his finished work, at that minute, God comes in and destroys the person you used to be. Your spirit man is made completely new, not just refurbished, a brand new creature. That's what Paul means. He means you're a brand new person. You're spiritually connected and united to Christ now. In a sense, it's as though you're married to Christ. You're no longer married to the world, and you've got to make that separation. Connie Bear translation, I like this. It says, if then you died with Christ, you put away the childish lessons of outward things. It's all the whole thing here, all three translations. The principles which govern the world, escape the world's crude and elemental notions, teaching of externalism, and then childish lessons of outward things. And Paul says, why have you gone back into them?
And see, this was the cornerstone of his motivation to write letters.
No, it was the cornerstone. Really, really, really was, folks.
Yeah.
It's not just the wonderful, beautiful things that Christ has done in your heart. Paul's saying here to people who had those wonderful things.
Right.
Now you've gone back and you're on the brink of turning around and going the other direction. I want to save you from the fire. Let go of the world.
And I don't know if I want to talk about this because this could be a show. This okay. could be a show titled Fear. Could be a topic.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty confident that someone, and hopefully more than just someone, that a few or more than just a few are understanding about what we're talking about tonight, and that they have some nervousness, some apprehension,
sure,
some fear about letting go,
right,
that something bad's going to happen. They'll lose their job, they'll be late to work, they'll get an F on the history test. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a show. I don't want to really talk about it too much, but really we need to because of this one point. And I'm going to say it like this. Really? Seriously? If you're working and striving and you're enjoying grace and you're turning your back on the world, do you really think that grace would allow things to go wrong?
Yeah.
That would mean that the Bible, that any religion, any worshiping, any praying, and this radio show and anything like it would be a total waste of time. It would be a joke.
Uh-huh. I looked up something just because of what you said.
But you know what? That's a show. We could talk about fears and apprehension, letting go. That could be a show very easily.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little encouragement for folks just based on that, and then you know we don't have to go any more into it. But look at what verse 31 of Romans 8 says. I want to get the New King James, not the King James. Just hold on a second. Here we go. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Notice how good God is. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. Now notice what he said. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Yet all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel nor principality, powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Simply saying, why would we worry?
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
I bet they'll like that. I bet people like that.
Yeah. They do. They do. That's nice. We got some feedback finally. Okay.
Yeah, see, there you go. See, you got a little, got a, everybody give Jim Huckaday a standing ovation. Just give him
a... It's nice to be liked. To be appreciated. That's good.
Uh-oh.
Looks like time's up.
Apparently, somebody disagreed. You know, folks, if there was ever a moment for this radio show to be televised, it was just now.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the little horsing around.
Besides, I'm not here.
No, you're not. I've had my eyes closed the entire night, so it would be like you're not here in the barn.
Yeah. I wonder if Sue is going to tell you what she's ready to eat, because...
I don't know.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
Holy smokes.
You know what I did today? I went into town to sell those 4 bags of nubs to somebody, right? And I saw an Arby's sign. Now, this is what's really funny. It's just me in the truck alone. And I didn't order any drinks. I didn't order any curly fries or onion rings, nothing. I just ordered sandwiches. And when I got up to the window, it was $40. And I looked at this.
My goodness.
I looked at this kid and I go, what? And he says, it was like $42. And I says, and I go, what did I order? And he says, well, you ordered one of these, you ordered 3 of these, you ordered 2 of those. And he says, sir, he says, you ordered 8 sandwiches. And I says, I did? And he says, yeah. He says, do you want to change your order? And I said, no. Okay. And so I brought I bought these 2 big bags of Arby's.
Right.
Different sandwiches home and stuck them in the refrigerator.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I've had nothing to eat all day.
Yeah.
And so when you leave tonight, it'll be like 11 o'clock or 11:30 tonight on this Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know, we literally 6 days before this show is broadcast because it's pre-recorded.
Right.
And I guess I better have an Arby's sandwich.
Yeah.
Because my refrigerator in the house is full of them.
Aaron made dinner tonight, but sometimes if I'm not real hungry, you know, I don't eat a whole lot.
But
today I didn't have anything to eat. So she made like these fajitas. Was really good, but I only was able to have one because there wasn't much left for Drew when she came home. So I had one little fajita, and it's like my backbone's rubbing right now. So
what are you going to do when you get home? You're
I don't know. I'll do something.
When you go through town, you're going to stop and get something? You don't do that, do you?
No, I don't do that. There's some type of a salad she made yesterday.
Oh, no, you can't have salad.
Well, it's got meat in there, too.
No, that's not – you don't mix – you don't put meat in salad. That's ridiculous.
Well, if I could, you got me thinking about pizza. I mean, I'd order a pizza if I could, but it's too late.
It is. But you know what? The cowgirl that works here, you know what she's done? Hmm. On her way home from the pizza parlor, she's brought pizzas to me out.
Oh, really?
So one Tuesday night when we're doing the show, we could order you a pizza.
Yep, that'd be great.
And you could just take it home and, you know, warm it up.
Be nice.
The place she works at, they make pretty good pizza. Now, you know, I don't put any sauce on my pizzas. You know that.
Yeah, I have to have sauce.
Yeah, I don't like gravy. I don't like sauce. I don't like ketchup. It, you know, it hides the flavor of food. Plus, if you put gravy and ketchup and sauce on stuff, you don't know if it's rotten or not because it covers it up.
Oh gosh.
You could be eating something moldy and, you know, some kind of roadkill. Somebody could have backed over a possum on the interstate and thrown it in a pot and call it pizza.
Hmm.
You know, and you can't.
That'd be terrible.
Jim, you can't tell if it's a possum pizza if they put sauce on it. And the only way you can tell you're eating possum is to make sure there's no sauce.
I had some great pizza in
safety
New Jersey.
Safety tip, folks. That's a good safe. Did you have pizza in New Jersey?
Shoo. Well, yeah. I mean, Bob, businessman Bob, he's a
business card.
Yeah, business card Bob. He's Italian, and so they every place I go is always Italian. I mean, they take me to 40 Italian places. No, really, they're trying to branch out a little bit, so I don't have to go to every single time to an Italian. But man, the Italian food up there is amazing.
The reason we call business card Bob is because whenever he sends an email to the show, it's got a business card with his smiling face and a suit and tie.
Right.
Makes him look like a realtor or something.
Yeah, well, he is.
I'll tell you something about New Jersey. This is a true story. This is factual. My family, my personal heritage, my family was the first business of a livery stable and wheelwright in the Commonwealth of New Jersey.
About what year would that be?
That was the real early 17s. Yeah, my family was one of the first to colonize what became New Jersey, and my family started the first livery. You know what a wheelwright is? They made wagon wheels.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a wheelwright is. Yeah, my family had a livery stable. They bred horses, and they made wagon wheels in New Jersey. I've never met them, and they're like second, third cousins, so on and so forth. But I'm supposed to have a bucket full of relatives scattered all over the farmland of New Jersey. Because a lot of people don't know, but there's a lot of agriculture in New Jersey. I don't know where exactly, but I just know that there's a lot of New Jersey that's farm ground.
Yeah, not the part I was in. Talk about traffic.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Big city?
Oh, just something else. Traffic's amazing. Well, what do you think about our show tonight and how we're doing?
I think we're doing pretty. Do you think we've covered this good?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how well you could cover it any more than what we're doing. We're separating these two worlds as far as we can possibly separate them.
I'm trying to make sure that we're not leaving someone listening right now wanting. Like they're saying, okay, what do you mean by turn your back on the world? What are you saying that, you know, you have to let go and that the reality that we live isn't the reality that is what's really important? I wonder if we've given them that message enough to think about. I know we've explained the homework assignment enough. I know that we've mentioned that it's pre-recorded enough and the time change.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to say something to music?
Yeah.
All right, hold on, because I'm not even close on this computer screen. I mean, I'm not even close to anything.
That's because you had all your little gadgets going.
Well, they're not gadgets. It's computer screens with with push buttons and stuff. Why didn't you just say, well, you got your thingamajigs or something? Man alive.
Well, for everyone listening tonight, we're sure glad that you joined in. And I pray that you, this week, you'd be able to really see very clearly the difference between what's really important in your life, what has intrinsic value to your spirit, and what's really not important at all. Make it a priority that if you're going to pray, let it be the prayers that come with something of your spirit that has value to your relationship with God. Don't be so concerned about the things that are all around us. God will take care of those. You don't even have to be concerned about tomorrow. Just let the Lord have it. That's what the finished work of Jesus is all about. Amen.
Guess what happened while we were pre-recording the show?
Did San Francisco win the World Series?
They did.
Wow. What was the score?
It was the same as when we started the show.
Three to two.
It was 3-2. Nobody scored any more runs. And this is now the third time in 5 years that the Giants have won.
Wow.
I don't know. You know, I told you last week's show, it's just because of the earthquake.
Right.
And I don't follow the team. I don't know anybody's name on the team. And the only reason I knew they were in the World Series is because I was channel surfing the other night, and I happened to see while the World Series was on.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, because the only reason I'm saying something is because tonight, you know, you said, why didn't you TiVo? And I says, I don't care. I don't follow sports.
Right.
But, yeah, they won.
Oh, cool. That's nice.
So, it's over now because now it's Tuesday, so people are saying, why is he talking about the World Series? That was last week. It's over now.
Right.
What comes after baseball? Football?
Well, football's in full swing right now.
When do they play basketball?
They'll be starting here soon. Well, they're actually, I don't know if they've started or not right now, but they'll be going too.
So you're going to be back in here next
Thursday.
You'll be in the barn next Tuesday, right?
Oh, correct. Yes, I will.
Well, folks, tonight's show has been pre-recorded. I just want to let you know that Jim's in New Mexico, and hello to all the people in New Mexico that are listening to the show. I don't know how she knows. She's all fired up. But I want to say thank you to all the people that sent a text message or an email to Ranger tonight and myself. And we want you to take care of yourselves and your pets. And remember, dog spelled backwards. There you go.
Good night, everyone.
And good night to all the kids out there. And remember, when your parents go to bed, pretend to be asleep and sneak into the kitchen and have a snack. Right, Ranger? Oh, I got another. What was wrong with that? Is that a bad advice?
I didn't even say anything, did I?
Well, you just gave me a parental look. Like you wouldn't want me to say that to your daughters. Good night, everybody.
Good night.